CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
It's time for episode 685 of Who Charted, the show where comedians discuss the top five songs and movies of the week. Congratulations, you have reached checkpoint leap year. Wow. On your way to summer 2024, I'm your host, H. Michael Cray, a.k.a. Chart Linklater, Howard Kramer. And with me, as always, Brett Peter BBM Morris, a.k.a. Starred. What's up, Star?
What's up? Happy leap year.
Thank you so much. Yep. I feel like we haven't done this in maybe about 4 years or so.
I want to check that. I'm not so sure.
Check it. It seems long, yeah. But I'll tell you, it's exciting. And it's always, it always throws me because...
It actually seems less than 4 years, or I'm sorry, it seems like it's more than 4 years since the last leap year.
More, okay.
Like just the feelings wise, you know what I mean? I know it's every four, but
maybe
it feels
pandemic or something.
Feels less common than the Olympics.
Right. Less common than a precedent. It's strange. Right.
But
nobody knows the purpose of it. I think that's the craziest part.
That's the other thing is I feel like we let it come and go every 4 years, but we don't really do anything with it. Like, it feels like that should be more of a holiday or like a national day of some sort of celebration.
Yeah, it is. It's inherently special. Let's not gloss over it.
Right. It's just weird that we don't do anything for it. There's no traditions at all. You just sort of remark
about maybe like a purge type of a thing, leap year purge.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I think it should be sort of lawless day, like international waters.
Yeah. Nudity on the streets, lawlessness, free drugs, purge.
No podcasts.
No podcasts.
That's the only rule.
No podcasts, no deliveries. All the delivery people have the day off.
Yeah, there you go.
Hey, speaking of deliveries, we've got a special delivery to the show. Right now, here he comes. Wow. You know him from his weekly live stream with his sister. It's on Mondays on his YouTube channel, Brett Weinbach, at youtube.com/Brett Weinbach. Sorry about that. It's called The Chicken Coop. We're going to get into that. You know him from episode 651 of our program, plus many more. Welcome back, the great, the hilarious, and the chicken-obsessed Mr. Brett Weinbach.
Hi, thank you for having me and delivering me in Hi. such a way. I feel new. I feel reborn.
Yes,
I feel delivered, fresh, hot.
Right on. You feel seen.
Yeah, I feel fully baked.
They have that these days, from what I hear during the birthing process. Like they'll offer to play music for you. Custom playlists and everything.
Yeah.
Really?
And I feel like that would be too distracting for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just want the sounds.
People
of the...
just bring their own music. Why do you got to have the place do it?
Like a boombox?
Yeah. I mean, I used to bring a Walkman to the dentist. I mean, what do they got?
Well,
do?
Maybe they set up some Bose speakers in the delivery room, you know?
Oh, I see. Okay. Yeah. 5-point surround.
Maybe some vinyl.
Did you bring the Walkman to the dentist so that. To make it so that if you were talked to, you have a reason to not hear him, you know, and not talk to the dentist. back? Because that's always tough when you're when the dentist tries to talk to you while they're doing stuff to your mouth, and you're going,
I hate that.
No, I brought it to pass the time. I thought it was going to pass the time while he's working on me. Mm. But it was Public Enemy, and it was just like this high energy stuff. So I was just way too hyped up to be worked on. He shot me full of all this Novocaine, and I had to ask for more. And then I still could feel everything. And he goes, I shot you with enough to knock out a horse. And then I figured, it must be the Public Enemy.
Public Enemy.
Yeah.
That's how you can, I guess that's like a caffeine or something. It's a way to not be sedated.
It's adrenaline.
Not be. Wow, that's interesting.
You should listen to Jack Johnson or something to put you to sleep.
Right.
Radiohead.
Listen to Brian Eno or something.
Yeah. So good to see you. You're looking crisp. You're looking good.
And thanks. You too.
Tell us a little bit about the fun you're having with your sister on the chicken coop.
Oh yeah, well, you know, my sister is really funny, and we joke around a lot. A lot of jokes I do in my stand-up is kind of oftentimes derived from some inside joke I had with my sister. Mm. And we have a lot of funny conversations on the phone. And at one point I just thought, let's try to get this going in a public forum somehow. So, you know, we started this video podcast kind of chat show thing. And we talk about old stuff, and we watch old commercials from the 80s and break them down, analyze them, and find deeper meaning within them. You know, and when I say deeper meaning, I mean somehow related to poo or penises or something, you know.
Of course. Okay. You guys take a gutter. Is that the type of humor that you share?
Yeah. I think it's pretty base. You know, it's the same. We laugh at the same stuff we laughed at when we were kids, you know, just silly stuff. I mean, it's not just stuff, toilet humor, but also funny faces, funny body movements and stuff.
You know? When you were growing up, was one of you cast as the funny one and the other one wasn't?
Well, I was probably we were both funny, but I think at a certain point, maybe I was kind of more, I definitely was the funniest one of the kids. There's four of us.
Okay.
And I was kind of the king of comedy within the four of us. We made up this game called Fool's Court, I think it was called.
You were the Bernie Mac of the four.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so it was a game, was like a make you laugh, you know, make me laugh kind of game. You know, we had to make the other people laugh, and I was always, you know, would win that kind of game. You know, I'd be able to make them laugh, and I would be able to also be able to keep a straight face too if they try to make me laugh. But I feel like my sister has not only caught up to me, but surpassed me at this point. Mm. She's funnier than me now.
Wow.
So
she's waiting in the
wings.
I can
imagine that. I mean, you to me are the funniest one out of a brood. I can't imagine there's someone who tops you.
Well, you guys got to check out the chicken coop, I guess, to find out, but you know.
And the parents would favor you or her?
Well, I mean, my dad was pretty funny too. So, I mean, maybe he favored himself. Maybe he is the funniest one at a certain point. But
so it was an every man for himself situation.
I think these days, these days, I think my parents probably think my sister is the funniest one. And she is. She is really funny.
Right on. Well, keep riding those coattails. And one day you'll develop your own signature style.
I hope so. I'm trying to learn from the master, my sister now, Laura.
I love it. Okay, let me wrap the history of recorded music, and then we'll get into the music chart.
Here we go.
Music. We used to play LPs. 8 tracks, cassettes, and CDs. Now we download and we stream. What's next, ChatGTP? Tunes. I got it backwards that time. It is GPT.
It is.
I researched it last night.
You said what?
You researched it. I've been telling you every week for about 3 months.
I know, but somebody came up to me and they said, I like when you do that part on the podcast. And I go, is it GTP or GPT? They go, no, it's GPT. Right?
Right.
I like messing stuff up.
No,
though.
I know I think you've been telling me so. I know.
I like it when I like mess things, you know, malapropisms and, you know, messing things up, you know?
Yeah.
You should call it Chat GTA or something, you know? Or
I like that.
Oh, that's
Chat
good.
GTA.
Yeah, or something, you know, just really mess it up, you know? I mean, that won't rhyme. I know you need an E sound to rhyme with, so you'd probably need, you know, something else, but.
That sounds like a Brody joke, Chat GTA.
It does.
What's the new thing? It's Sora. That's a hard one to rhyme with. That's the new AI thing, the text, the video.
Oh, this is
Sora.
Version 2? Like 2.0 style?
Kind of. It's like the new foray into video AI. Yeah.
And what can it do that the other one couldn't do?
It makes videos that are shockingly real seeming just from text. So you can just say like,
oh, wow,
give me a music video, whatever, about frogs. And
can you do like frogs. I want to see there's
frogs
I
doing
see Britney.
Go ahead.
Yeah, can you personalize it real good?
Oh yeah, you can do whatever you want. It's like Chat GPT but for video.
So and, I could go I want to see the movie Ghost, but instead of Patrick Swayze I want it to be Steven Seagal.
It'll Would come up that? With something. It'll do something along those lines for you.
Instead of Whoopi Goldberg, I want to see Rube Goldberg.
I like that idea, though. I wonder if it would throw in like some roadblocks for you with copywritten stuff. I don't know.
Oh, that type of thing. Yeah, it could be.
But it's getting, I mean, it's so crazy the level of breakthroughs that were needed even just to get from last year's ChatGPT to this year's Sora. Like the stuff I'm reading is just like mind breaking.
And isn't it AI that's doing the work? Isn't it AI?
Oh yeah, it's AI. It's all AI. Yeah, it's all. Oh, probably. Yeah, that's where it starts stacking on
building,
itself.
Right. Wow. It's building its own. AI is building its own thing now.
And that's
And they're saying that the breakthroughs getting to the video element of it were so complicated that that's already giving them. Like, that's also the breakthrough for general intelligence and, like, world simulation, they're saying, which is, like, the big, you know, the crazy mountaintop that people have been talking about for years.
I think you're onto something there because I remember what a revolution it was when music television came out.
Yeah.
I want my MTV.
AI killed the reality star. I don't know.
Yeah, this is just that.
Yeah,
you can rhyme it with Bora Bora, maybe, you know, if you were incorporate Sora, you could say Sora Sora, you know, just say it twice.
Yeah.
Right.
Say Bora, Bora.
Torah.
Or Torah. Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah. Torah. Yeah.
From ancient times.
Or there's Laura, you know, the funniest one in my family. Yeah.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. What would she say?
Yeah, she'd say, you know, she'd probably say, sure. She'd say, snore. She'd probably do some sort of snoring thing.
Oh, okay.
Right on.
All right. Shall we get into this chart?
Oh, yes.
Top five on Spotify.
Top five Spotify. Let's do it.
Yeah. So this is what
general
people,
music.
General music in the USA.
Uh-huh. Okay.
America. But, it tends to track around the world, too. All right. So coming in at number five.
Number five.
SZA with Saturn. That's a really backwards drum beat. That's super interesting.
Wild, right?
Yeah.
It's like irregular.
That's like a prog move.
That's like some math rock right there.
Totally.
It's kind of like a math music box lullaby or something like that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it had the lullaby, the tiny dancer. It had the... It had the wacky backbeat. I like
it. It almost had that Sandman sound, you know?
Yeah.
In a way.
Mr. Sandman.
Mr. Sandman, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
he goes by Mr.
You know
what?
Very
creative.
By the way,
it's hard to rap to a beat like that.
Yeah, I appreciate the, you know, it's bold to do that with a
They once did a Punk'd where they brought Ludacris in and they were just playing him these garbage irregular beats and they're going,
oh yeah, that was Matt Besser.
Oh, that was
you know that, right? Besser was behind that. That was his show. Yeah. In Ludacris, Besser made Punk'd. He was part of the
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's one of the craziest stories because it was like
insane how disrespectful I am to him.
He and Method Man and everything, like, but they showed Ludacris this beat that was impossible to rap to, and he actually managed to do it. Like, he actually had some bars that were pretty good. Shows you how talented he was.
Mm. Yeah, he was trying to do it and almost succeeding.
They should make a game show out of that. You know. Any rappers from all different levels, and they give you difficult beats to, you could probably create some pretty neat music out of that. If you could pull off a difficult beat.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't see it on primetime behind The Voice or anything, but I do think you can find some interest.
Probably at Tubi or something like that.
Tubi.
You know?
Yeah.
There you go. Freebie.
Freebie, yeah.
All right, coming in at number four.
Number four.
Noah Kahan with Stick Season. Oh, I remember this one.
Promise me that I was more than all the miles combined. You must have had yourself a change of heart like halfway through the drive because your voice trailed off exactly as you passed my exit sign. Kept on driving straight and left our
I hate this one. I really hate this one.
This is like the Bush to Nirvana. This is yeah. Like the knockoff Ollie stuff.
Yes.
What does Stick Season refer to? We should have done a quiz on this one. What is he talking about with Stick Season?
Yeah, what the hell is he talking about?
Probably.
Yeah, let's guess. Go ahead, Brett.
Yeah.
Well, I'm thinking maybe it's winter or fall. You know, when the trees have dropped their sticks or fallen off and you're stepping on crunchy things on the ground. Leaves and things, you know, stick season.
Yeah. Okay. What about you, Start?
Mm.
Or you looked it up already?
I haven't looked it up.
Okay.
Stick season. Yeah, stick I think ball. That would be.
Stick ball.
Stick ball. Yeah, maybe. Maybe it's like getting hit with a switch out in his yard.
I see. If I hadn't heard the song, I would say, like, if it was a rap song, I'd say stick means is dick. And it's like it's time to bang something.
Yeah,
stick
there you go.
Right. And sticky substances, you know, is part of that, I guess, too.
Yeah, it's time to make something stick.
Oh, yeah, I'm stick.
You know what? Even though I know it's not about that, I'm going to stick with that as my guess.
I like that. I think that's my favorite. But I was thinking it also could be, you know, maybe there's a time of the year when there's more races going on, you know, street races and stuff, and people are using stick shift cars, and that's sort of stick season when people are using their manual gear shifts.
Tokyo Drift type stuff.
Something like that. And maybe there's a season for that. I'm thinking spring, you know.
They do have a lot of trucks in the southern regions. You know, they are stick shift.
Oh, so okay. Oh, could yeah. Be that.
Oh, maybe it's that's that. A good one. I have the real answer at this point.
Okay.
I looked it up. The stick season in Vermont is right between fall and winter when the leaves have all fallen but is yet to snow.
Wow.
It signifies
Brent,
a time
it.
Of transition. Yeah, you got it, man.
Points to Weinbach.
You know what? It was the music sort of sounded like that a little bit too. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It sounded like it was kind of getting colder, you know, the way that the...
Sounded like Bernie Sanders trudging through Vermont.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's Bernie season. You know, a lot of country music teaches us the vernacular of the South, and now we're getting the Northern.
Ah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know these terms.
Well, we're learning, though, you know, and that's exciting. Had you heard of this artist before and the previous one?
No, I think this is his new, you know, he's brand new out of nowhere with this type of new sound these kids got.
I don't know this artist at all. This is the only song. It's been on the charts for a few weeks now.
What's the
SZA,
name of the,
I know.
What's the name of the guy, Jim, is it Croce?
Croce? Jim Croce.
Croce?
Oh, yeah, Miss American Pie?
He did that one?
Oh, Bad, Bad Leroy Brown.
That's yeah, it's bad. Yeah, it's not McClane,
yeah. It doesn't have to be this way. You know that one? It kind of almost kind of reminded me of that a little bit. You know that song?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, but it's like, it seems like a I don't know, just a cheaper version.
I'm not trying to say it's on any kind of the same level or right. anything like that. I'm just saying maybe there's that kind of colder, wintry sound, you know.
Absolutely.
Folky winter sound, you know.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's a cold time in America.
I think back then, like if you had an acoustic guitar, you had a lot more competition. Like you had to come up with something a little bit better.
Back in the singer-songwriter days?
Yeah.
Yep.
Joni Mitchell had to retune it, you know, to all these wacky tunings.
Donovan, you had to get wacky.
Okay, coming in at number three.
Number three.
Another artist I personally don't know. This is Benson Boone, Beautiful Things.
For a while there it was rough, but lately I've been doing better than the last four cold Decembers I recall. And I see my family every month.
That little guitar band.
I found a girl my parents love. She'll come and stay the night, and I think I might have it all. And I thank God every day.
Almost kind of sounded like Dave Matthews at a certain point when he said, and I think it kind of had that Dave Matthews kind of squeak to it, you know?
Yeah. Maybe the producer told them, hey, do something here. Try something here.
Yeah. Try channeling this sort of get a Matthews kind of sound going on this track, you know?
Could give use me that. A Virginia kind of goose
jam.
Pitch.
Give me that jam band sort of squeak, you know?
Yeah.
Like I need a funky white man sound here.
Yeah. You turn your feet kind of inwards, do that little Dave Matthews dance.
Yeah, yeah. Clutch your guitar like it's protecting you.
Yeah.
God, I do not care for that one.
I'm with you on that.
But yeah. You do care for Dave Matthews, right?
No. I care deeply for Dave Matthews, yeah.
We saw him live as part of a bigger show. He came out and did a couple songs, and he was one of the lowlights. I don't care what anyone says.
He was funny in that movie, Just Go With It. Did you see that one?
No, I did not.
He played a white trash guy or something?
No, he's kind of more of like a yuppie kind of guy. Oh. And it's the Adam Sandler movie. I think, if I remember, I saw it on a plane. And I thought, and I remember thinking, oh, Dave Matthews. First of all, I thought it was weird that Dave Matthews is acting in a movie. And then I thought, he's actually pretty funny.
I think he's been in a few things. I remember seeing him as like a white, trashy kind of dirtbag. Maybe another Sandler movie. Maybe
he was getting laughs.
Billy Idol and stuff.
He was getting laughs on stage when we saw him. Like, he seems like he's got a shtick to him.
He's a bit of a thespian of sorts.
A bit.
Yeah. He's a bit of an unplugged. I'll tell a little story between right. the song and the story. Hopefully you got some entertainment.
Hopefully you
got I'm not into him. I'm sorry. There's a All certain right. type of person that is way into him, and
I totally understand.
Need to get rid of them all.
Get rid of them. Coming in at number two.
Number two.
Beyonce, Texas Hold'em.
Have you guys heard of this artist?
Number two?
Not sure.
This ain't Texas. Alexis, and throw your keys up. Hey. Stick around, round, 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 round. Stick around. And I'll be damned if I can't slow dance with you. Come pour some sugar on me, honey, too. It's a real live boogie and a real live hold down. Don't be a bitch, come take it to the floor now. Woo! There's a tornado.
In my city. So what's popular right now is country music and Dave Matthews, I guess.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, almost all of these tracks have had some, you know, there's some kind of country kind of quality to them. And Dave Matthews-y kind of the last two, you know.
Yes.
Well, she had some Dave Matthews squeaks in there too, I thought, you know. Well, some woos, you know.
I'm surprised. Yeah, I finally heard, like, I've only ever heard the first bit of that song. And I finally heard the last bit. It goes into some interesting places. But I'm also surprised how sort of traditional it is. Like, it really is just sort of a traditional hoedown, like the chord changes and stuff.
I want to see if the other girls from Destiny's Child put out some more complicated country.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's
what
see it.
What does it mean that country is sort of the dominant force right now? What does it mean?
What does it mean? It means that America's a great melting pot. Uh-huh. And now it's all just blended together. They used to be very different things, country and rap and pop. And now they're all just kind of like just there.
That's, I also feel like there's maybe there's like more of an industry behind it. Like it's got a huge backing of the Nashville scene and the industry there. Yeah, the award EDM shows and stuff. Like,
yeah,
feels like you can plug right into it. Like if you're a pop artist and you want to do something different, yeah, it's a little
just
harder.
Call up Diplo. He's making acoustic guitar beats now.
Yeah,
and it'll just throw you on a compilation album. But I mean, he's got double albums with just vocal at, you know, country song, country song, country song, different artists. It's like a it's a movement.
Oh, that's interesting. It's interesting. Fusion.
Yeah, it's kind of like the New York accent is made up of all its, you know, the different countries that moved there. And now we've got this bland, four on the floor, Dave Matthews country rap.
I like the Beyonce version of it more than like the Noah Kahan or whatever, Six Season. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I like it, but I don't know. It doesn't seem revolutionary to me, even though sales wise it absolutely is, as far as first black woman to top the country chart. And that's great. But the song itself to me is like, you know, I've heard those types of songs before, even within like a Broadway musical or something. It's
Have
like,
you heard the other one she released? I think it's called like 16 Carriages or something.
That was like that country too?
More dramatic. Yeah, she's releasing all these different country tunes. But
that's interesting. Oh, nice. That is so interesting.
It's more of a ballad dramatic thing, but it's interesting. Like it has a weird rhythm to it that I feel like I haven't heard before.
I'll check that one out.
It's less fun than this one though.
Less fun? I won't check that out.
Yeah, you might not like it. All right, coming in at number one.
Number one.
This is Kanye West, Ty Dolla Sign, Rich the Kid, Playboi Carti, bunch of people with Carnival. Go, 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 go. And so you see on a roll, she ride me like Carnival. I don't need the impossible. Go, 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 go. And so you see on a roll, she ride me like Carnival. I don't need the impossible.
That's good that was on there, so Brent doesn't get the impression that country's the only thing going on.
I actually thought the beginning of it did sound kind of country in a way, you know?
Yeah, there's a lot of chant, like kind of chanting, it had call and response.
Yeah, there was almost like some kind of Appalachian kind of, chanting going on or something like that, or even Southern chanting. I don't know. It did sound hoedown-y in a kind of a way. Maybe rodeo-esque. Mm-hmm. You didn't think that in the beginning? In the beginning, you know?
Well, I mean, to me, it sounded like a foreign accent or something.
Well,
but
yeah, that
I,
too, I
do
guess,
get what
yeah.
you mean. It's like maybe it was that kinda, down, maybe clogging
something,
music.
Something
we're gonna
like
dance
that, yeah.
in our clogs.
It's a fusion, you know? It was kind of, it had accents. It was exotic, but yeah. also, you know, rootsy too. It had a roots. It had a roots quality.
Yeah, folksy quality. Hmm.
Well, it just shows. Yeah, there's no such thing as like cancel culture when it comes to the Spotify charts.
Yeah, Kanye West, I think also like the media is so fragmented now. It's like even if you keep right. somebody off of network TV, and they still pop yeah. up on Spotify. You know, like you're saying,
that's the chart.
A healthy chart for this leap year. Wow. The country, the month, everything is in a state of flux. And we'll be right back with the movie chart.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Maybe you and your sister should put out a country track.
We should. My sister and I kind of came up with a country song, and I kind of did it as a bit. But, you know, we should just... should get that going, you know.
What was the bit?
It was like we made this song up about these crabs. We just started kind of singing this fake country song we made up. It's like, two little crabs came across a dick, didn't know what to do, so they pinched it. Something like that, you know. Didn't know what to do, so they pinched it.
They pinched it.
That's what they would do. It's a true story.
It was like, the story is about a man who's laying on the beach, naked, I guess, and these crabs come by and they
see. They're not sexual crabs? They're
like- No, they're real crabs. They're full crabs. Full-on crabs, you know, fully full-blown crabs.
Yeah.
Not small.
Full-blown.
Full-blown.
Full-blown crab.
It was, I'm trying to remember the other lyrics. Two classic crabs crawled across the sand. I don't know, something about a man laying on the sand or something like that. And they pinched his penis, basically. That's basically what it comes down to.
Anyway, long story.
Yeah.
All right, want to bring us back to the movie chart?
My name is H. Michael Cray, and I'm here with our guest, Brent Weinbach. And
Brett Morris.
And this is the movie chart. Movies, they used to be too silent. Nowadays, they're too loud and violent. For most of them, I am not a client. People on the big friggin' giant. Movies.
Nice.
This is the movie chart, and we're going to see what's bringing people back into the theaters.
That's right. Coming in at number five.
Number five.
Dropping down to number five. This is Migration.
Ah! That is not your mother.
We're trying to get to Jamaica.
Oh, this...
Don't worry,
this is...
Gotcha.
So listen, Chump.
What?
These are funny birds,
sorry,
Brett.
I think ducks are funny. Ducks are funny.
Pigeons can be
ducks
funny.
Funny.
They're ducks.
Pigeons,
for sure.
I guess, are funny. Yeah, pigeons.
Pigeons are funny.
Woodpecker.
Yeah. No, I guess a lot of, yeah, just a lot of birds.
Pigeons, they take a lot of shit, like, you know, the homeless or something.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pigeons do take a lot of shit.
Kind of vagrant birds, yeah.
Yeah.
They're everywhere.
Seagull's not always funny, but a woodpecker's usually comedic.
I guess something about beaks are funny, I guess, right? You know? Because...
Yeah.
I don't know. They stick out. They're kind of bright colored, you know. And the way that, you know, bird creatures kind of move their neck, this is kind of funny, you know, this sort of this kind of thing that they do. I know this is not video, but yeah, the way that they move their necks around and their heads pecking around and stuff. There's just something.
They're dinosaurs, so we know they have a primitive intelligence.
Mm. Yeah.
They're smarter than we think. I saw some PBS thing where it showed like pigeons and they could be trained to pick out like a Picasso painting versus some other artist.
Wow.
And they were accurate with it. Yeah. And they would get the pellets if they got it right.
Well, as birds being, you know, a funny animal, I mean, I guess that's why this is a top five movie, I guess, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, works. I don't see any zebras in there. I don't see any giraffes.
Giraffes are kind of maybe on the funny side. Zebras, maybe not as much, but
getting a successful kids thing is such a moneymaker because kids will rewatch the same thing over and over and over and over again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, now that you can't buy it on DVD, you got to keep restreaming it. If it switches services, you got to buy a new service.
Yeah.
It's another way to get people to buy something multiple times.
Why don't we all get a kids franchise going?
Whoa.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, what are we doing?
Let's make some money. Kids. You know?
Yeah.
Let's get some kids franchise thing going here, you know?
Okay.
Have you ever wanted to make a kid show?
No.
Why not? You want to make big bucks?
I don't.
You don't have that sensibility.
Like, once I left being a kid, I didn't have that same, like, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
Says the Havasama guy.
Well, that's true. Havasama's kid friendly.
It is kids friendly, yeah.
You know how when artists get older, they do like, oh, this is an album that my kids could listen to? I didn't have any kids, but I got to that age where, oh, I should be talking about something besides sex or whatever.
Right.
But as far as like write a children's book, I mean, that doesn't sound fun to me. Like it would just be, I feel like I would be patronizing the kids.
Mm. I could see you doing it though.
Yeah, I could see ironically that would make you a good candidate to do it.
Pitch me an idea. I'll do it. I mean,
I could see you writing a kid's book about sneakers or something, you know?
Sneakers?
Yeah. Or something like that.
I'm not even a sneakerhead. Like,
okay. Or maybe.
I remember something. I have a song called The Doo Doo Choo Choo. It teaches kids about the digestive system.
Really? That works. I've
never heard that one.
The doo-doo choo-choo is coming down the track when the whistle blows. Woo-woo, there's no turning back. If you don't know where it's going, I can tell you, Jack. Old number two's headed for the crack.
Oh, wow. I never heard you go.
This is good. There you go.
Going a bit gutter there.
That's a Skokie song. That's why.
Oh, okay.
They go gutter.
All right, coming in at number four.
Number four, yeah.
Madam Web.
Let's try that again.
Quickly becoming a punchline of a movie.
Yeah.
It's an incredible disaster.
Of MCU.
Yeah, it sure is. I saw it in theaters. It lives up to it.
What is the punchline? I mean, what's going on?
Just how bad it is, how poorly like thought out it all is. The execution is bizarre. There's line readings in ADR and dubs that make no sense.
Hmm.
Visible booms.
the story that it's promising you just flat out never happens in a way that I've never seen in a movie. Like, it just does. Like, it's truly billboarding some stuff that you're just like, when it ends, you're just going, what?
What was
yeah.
Now, this is about a woman who can see the future. She can see things in the future.
Kind of, yeah. Yeah. She can see like glimpses into sometimes in just the next like 5 minutes.
Uh-huh. Now, what did it, there's what we've seen this before in a movie, right? What
future
are the movies?
Visions?
What was it?
I mean, you just mean like future visions?
Yeah, or immediate future. Yeah, something like that, you know?
Yeah,
Firestarter.
Oh, Firestarter's like that?
Or one of those walking ones. They start getting visions.
Maybe Unbreakable a little bit too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But in this one, is she like Spider-Man, but she also sees the future?
Kind of.
Oh, she has spider powers too.
No, why don't you just...
Yeah, all I can say is like, yes, kind of, because that's what it is billed as, like spider powers, but then it's future seeing, and then she can't climb the walls for some reason. But then these aren't the same spiders as the one that bit Peter Parker. But then you're supposed to believe that it's in the same universe and that all leads to Peter Parker.
Is this like, I don't know if you know about those guys, movies in the 70s and 80s, Golden Globus. It's how they just like were these crazy Israeli guys that didn't give a shit about the script. Just get it made! Get it made!
Yeah.
That's what this sounds like.
That is what it sounds like.
It's like five different movies shoved into one.
Is this based on a comic book?
From what I'm not a comic book expert, but from what I know, it is kind of based on something that exists in comic books.
Based on Spider-Man to some degree.
Well, Spider-Man, sure, but I think there is a Madam Web comic book. Okay. Somewhere,
I think that when they go into pitch it, they go right up a comic book so we could say it's based on an existing property.
You know what Madam Web makes me think of? Madam makes me think of a brothel or something, right?
Yeah, and that's where they should have went with
yes.
This.
And then Web makes me think of, you know, fishnet stock, you know, like stockings that look like webs or something, and then an underwear that is sort of webbed looking underwear. And also web kind of makes me think of duck feet. So you get some bird in there and then you've got some, you know, some laughs as well. You know?
What's also crazy is that her character in this
sex appeal.
Her last name is Web. Like, that's where the web comes from. It's not even because she shoots webs.
And what's
like,
her first name, Charlotte?
So convoluted in that way. Like, there's no reason for her last name to be Web. It's, like, too much.
It's just a hat on a hat. It's just she like was born for it. You know?
Yeah.
It's just be Madam Web MD. And she also can tell you.
Right.
It's funny.
If you got a boil on your thigh.
Her mom happened to be a spider researcher, and that's where it all, like, stems from. But then it's like, well, why'd she get into spider research? Because her last name is Webb. Is that what? It's like, just pick one thing. It's fine.
That is wacky.
All right. Coming in at number three.
Number three.
This is Ordinary Angels, Hilary Swank.
Ooh.
My name is Sharon, and I'm an alcoholic with a splitting headache.
Sure.
My advice, find a reason to be here that's bigger than you are.
I read about this family in the paper. I think this is it.
Dad, I have a situation.
Oh, this is a Jesus one too?
Maybe just...
I'm getting that feeling.
Wow, Swank is doing the religious movies.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
Quite an arc.
Oh, is this kind of paid for by the church? No.
Yes.
Oh, it is?
What unfolds is the inspiring tale of faith, everyday miracles, and ordinary angels. This is one of the Christian ones. This time of year, especially, one of these always sneaks into the chart.
Yeah.
So she's pretty religious herself?
Probably not, but maybe. She hasn't done any big movies in a while. She shows up on one of these Jesus flicks.
She hasn't done anything since the next Karate Kid, right?
Yeah.
I think they get big budgets for these things, you know? They're able to score someone like a Swank.
Yeah, these like we saw on the music chart, the country moved into the mainstream, and now we've got Jesus moved into the mainstream.
Mm.
And yeah. You've got to get these. You got to get the Rubes. You know what I mean? You got to get yeah. Those. You got to get them in somehow if you want to sell big money.
They got the soundtracks going too. They're licensing like bigger songs now. It's not like just
DC, they're licensing something from DC Talk and stuff. People like that, or
oh yeah, and that
are
last
you saying
one
they're taking real like Carrie Underwood songs or something.
Yeah, I mean you heard that last one that was Sheryl Crow. Yeah.
When that movie trailer first came on, I thought, oh, she's doing like a Frances McDormand thing where she's like the wacky local lady who's going to go against the status quo. And then it really threw me when it went to the Jesus stuff. It's like the exact opposite. She's like, she's not the radical thinker in the small town. She's up to something else.
That's interesting. That's interesting that the number three movie is a Christian movie.
Yeah. Well, we have learned that they bust people in from churches. They'll take like octogenarians over there. They tell them they're going to see 80 for Brady, but then they just say, oh, it's full. We're going to go see this other thing.
Hmm.
All right. Coming in at number two.
Number two.
Demon Slayer, Kimetsu no Yaiba.
Once again?
Wow. Yeah, thank you. Let's just call it Demon Slayer. Japanese anime.
Anime.
It's another art form that's getting just more and more popular by the year.
Yeah, this is crazy too. They're putting these right into the theaters?
Yeah.
So that was just the prequel. That was just like kind of catching you up before the trailer, I guess, right?
Yeah, I guess so. A lot of these trailers now have a sort of intro to the trailer.
Right. Cold. I know. Wait, it's so ridiculous, actually, how they have previews now for the preview, kind of.
Yeah, you know? For what you're about to see.
Yeah. Well, wait, hold on. What happens there? We didn't even see anything on that one, right?
Oh, I'll put it back on.
Well, I mean, it was kind of just... is this even a trailer?
I can't figure out at all what's happening. Episode 11?
They must be pandering to those who already are in the know.
Yeah.
Let them know it's this wacky thing.
I'm sure this is very significant for fans of this thing.
Okay. Yeah, it's funny how there's these previews for previews now. You go, if you watch a trailer... It gives you a little mini snippets of what's going to happen in the trailer to get you kind of interested in the trailer. It's so bizarre because the trailer is meant to get you interested in the movie, but now they have now these little trailers to get you interested in the trailer.
Yeah. They're not leaving it up to chance.
There's something kind of postmodern about that. And I guess in some respect, I kind of like that because I like postmodern stuff, but I think that's pretty funny and kind of, it's absurd.
Yeah, anything to jar your attention. It's like attention span based, but also it's like pulling you into the 5 second mark or whatever. I bet they have I bet they have measurements that see when people bail on trailers. I bet there's a lot that bail within the first 2 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
They're just like, just do something that gives them something in that first 3 seconds.
You get them right in.
Yeah.
It's like when you see movies just like, are on TV or whatever, where they speed up the credits at the end. The credits just go into hyper fast.
Right.
We just got to get them right into the next one.
It's so disrespectful to the people who worked on it. Do they, as if people's viewership is more important than giving people credit, you know? But it's funny. Imagine this kind of conversation. Hey, did you see the trailer for Madam Web? No, but I saw the trailer for it.
Yeah.
Right.
I saw, or something like that. The beginning.
I saw the trailer. That was pretty good. I'm thinking about checking out the trailer.
Yeah. Oh, I was thinking about watching the Madam Web trailer. I saw the trailer for the trailer last week, and it looked pretty interesting. And people don't even watch the movie anymore. They're just You know what I mean? They just, the credit for watching something is you see the trailer. And actually, a lot of times, sometimes these days, you do see the whole movie almost in the trailer, you know?
You have that even sort of in a larger scale at AMC, you know, the Nicole Kidman thing, like before the movie, where it's all, it's hyping you up about going to the theaters and watching movies in theaters as you're in the theater.
You're already there.
And you're going like, yeah, I know. Like, that's why I'm here.
Or how about, you know, at San Diego for Comic-Con? It's just everybody crowds into one of those rooms and they're all excited because they get to see the trailer for the new.
Oh, I know. It drives me crazy.
Right.
Yeah. Sneak preview for the trailer.
I've always, I don't know. I always grew up hating trailers like that. It surprises me now that there's a whole culture of people that really just love trailers.
Well, I have to admit, I did like trailers when I was younger.
Oh, really?
Well, remember that show on E! Called Coming Attractions? Yeah, I think it was called Coming Attractions. It was called Coming Attractions, and they just...
Oh, yeah.
It was a TV show that just played trailers.
Yeah.
They were full-length trailers, so it wasn't like the... you know, the commercials that you would see on TV that were, you know, shorter, but it was the full, you know, 2-minute trailer or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
I did like watching trailers, I guess, you know.
It was fun if they were good for a movie you're interested in or they did it well. Yeah. Do you remember Premiere Magazine? It was one of the first magazines to specialize just in movies. That whole thing was a trailer. It was just like, next month, this is coming out. Next month, this is coming out.
I remember Premier Guitar Magazine.
Oh, shit. Decent,
yeah.
Was that metal based?
No, that was it was more like gear based. I didn't like that one as much.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I like Guitar World. They had the tabs in it.
You didn't care when Ampeg put out a new bass head?
I didn't. All right. Coming in at number one.
Number one.
Bob Marley, One Love.
I separate the music and the message. You see, reggae music come to unify the people.
Wait, I want to go back to the beginning. Let's see if it has a trailer. Yeah, I want to.
Oh, yeah.
Now I'm curious.
Yeah.
Won't you help to sing?
Maybe not. I love how he kind of messes up that one note.
He's
well. This isn't even. This is a clip from the movie. Basically, it's not even.
Yeah, this was not a trailer for a trailer, but I think all three of us could probably do a better Bob Marley impression than that.
Seriously,
do you think Ziggy watches this and goes, "Now it's only like 20 years till I get my biopic"?
yeah. Seriously, but he's going. Which of the kids is gonna get one?
Yeah. Which one of my little brothers is going to play me?
Can you name any other Marleys besides Ziggy? I mean, any of the kids, that is?
Damien.
Damien. Oh, okay. And then there's another one that has a music career too, right?
Marley Marl.
It was like, I started with an R, I think. Rowan Marley.
Rowan Marley.
Yeah.
No, I think they, you know, it's tough. Superstar skips a generation. Maybe one of the grandkids will change the face of world music.
It's tough to be the son, one of the sons of just like an absolute legend like that. Like, what are you supposed to do?
Yeah.
Ask Julian Lennon.
Yeah. That's why Gwen and Blake should not have kids, right?
Speaking of country and fusion.
Yeah.
Well, I guess, I mean, they aren't superstars, but yeah, I mean, Sean, you just mentioned Julian Lennon. He had that one song, it's Much Too Late to Say Goodbye or whatever.
Yeah, I like that song.
It's a good song, you know, but
yeah,
I guess he's not a superstar.
Yeah, I like Julian Lennon.
And then Sean Lennon has some good, really good music too.
He's got some stuff, yeah,
but I mean,
sure.
They're not superstars, I guess, you know.
Jacob Dylan had a hit.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, really?
Yeah, One Headlight.
Who are some other... Was there any superstars?
I know Jacques Cousteau's son found one fish.
Carney Wilson.
Is
that her name?
Yeah. The Hold
Wilson
On.
Phillips.
Hold On. That was, you know, Hold On Wilson came Phillips. Out the same year That song by Wilson Phillips, Hold On, came out the same year that Hold On by En Vogue came out. Both had,
oh, wow.
They both had songs that's called Hold On, which is kind of interesting. And the same year.
Interesting.
And I think the same, the year that Jump came out by Van Halen was the same year that Jump by the Pointer Sisters came out.
Oh, yeah, 84.
Which they had to change the title to avoid confusion to Jump and then in parentheses, For My Love or For Your Love or whatever it is. Yeah.
I just saw an Instagram thing talking about John Williams' son. He was like in Toto and he did a lot of voices. And
Really? John Williams' son was in Toto?
Yeah.
Wow.
And he did commercial vocals. He's like a great singer. Which is kind of funny.
Yeah, that's interesting. I didn't know that.
I mean, this isn't music, but I mean, you know, Kirk Douglas was a big star, and then Michael Douglas was a pretty big star too, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder if Frances Bean, what's Frances Bean doing these days? She ever dabbled in grunge?
Yeah. Well,
Cobain.
Yeah. Okay.
She's probably running away from music hard.
Yeah.
Who's some big stars?
The biggest ones are
Michael Jackson.
Who are some stars?
Michael Jackson, Elvis Presley.
Yeah, that's a great question.
I'm trying to think of
some stars.
I mean, you know, yeah. I guess it's not too late for one of the Jackson kids to get into it. You know,
Blanket.
Blanket, yeah.
Blanket. What if he just goes by Blanket? That's his full name. You know, he just goes by Blanket, and it's the biggest pop star. Oh, have you heard the new Blanket album?
He could. I've heard worse names.
Blanket. You know, one of his kids' names.
Nepotism works in music.
Who?
No, just it's worked before. It could work again.
Isn't one of his kids named Prince?
Yeah.
So he just starts going by Prince, you know? Oh, have you heard the new Prince?
Oh, yeah.
It's like a posthumous thing? It's like, no, it's Michael Jackson's kid. Oh.
Speaking of like one-named artists, Sade.
Yeah.
I just saw something. I think she's touring or she's back again or whatever. I think between her and Lenny Kravitz, they tied each other in terms of the most ageless people I've ever seen. Like she looks exactly the same as she used to. Like it's kind of crazy. You should look it up at some point.
Wow. Yeah, I could see her having berries and ointments and stuff.
Yeah. Kravitz is the same way. It's pretty confusing at this point.
Interesting.
Like way more than Tom Cruise or other people who get credit for that.
He should start his own Sephora for men. Kravitz. You go up there. You get bases and
get tearaway pants.
You mean like crotch rippers? You get the new crotch rippers from Kravitz.
The Kravitz crotch rippers with a K.
Right.
Fashion line. See that we should put our heads together. That wouldn't be a good children's idea, but
crotch rippers for kids. Oh yeah, you could do crotch rippers kids because it's another K in there.
Oh yeah,
Kravitz crotch rippers kids KKK. It's that's what it is. This is a logo. Brilliant. The logo says KKK on it.
Yeah. How many ways can you get canceled?
Yeah. Kids crotch. Yeah, you're out.
You're out. Oh, you're adding a third K to it? All right. You can go to jail for other reasons. All right. That's the movie chart. Demon Slayer takes the cake.
Demon right Slayer's on. Number...
Or no, sorry. Oh, no, sorry. Bob Marley takes
Marley,
the cake.
Bob Marley, one love, yeah.
Demon Slayer.
Love will two. Always slay the demons.
I'm amazed that Bob Marley, that thing is at number one. But I guess there's just no measure for quality for these things. It's never.
Yeah. And a lot of people were fooled into thinking it was a Valentine's movie with the love in the title.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good point.
They brought him in. But that is the movie chart. And we'll be right back with the hot picks.
Welcome to Fail Better, David Duchovny's new podcast with Lemonada Media. On Fail Better, David, who has experienced both low and high-profile failures throughout his life, explores the vast world of failure how it holds us back, propels us forward, and ultimately shapes our lives. Each week, he'll chat with guests like Ben Stiller, Bette Midler, and more about how our perceived failures have actually been our biggest catalysts for growth, revelation, and even healing. Through these conversations, he hopes listeners can learn how to embrace the opportunity of failure and fail better together. Fail Better is out now wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The Hot Picks. The Hot Picks. The third chart is the Hot Picks and the countdown's about to start. Let's see who brought a hot pick and let's see who did not. The Hot Picks. The Hot Picks.
These are the Hot Picks. That was the Hot Picks theme with the beat singled out by the great John Flansburgh.
Right. Endorsed.
Endorsed.
I've never felt so endorsed in my life.
I mean, he said he even attempted to copy it and couldn't capture the magic. So shout out to Start for that table beat. And these are the Hot Picks. We'll see if we did better than U.S. Spotify. Likely we did. Let's find out.
That just gave me an idea for a business. Tell me about this. Tableside Beats.
Oh,
we'll come to your table. We'll make a custom beat for you.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
Where are you? You're at a restaurant and then we come to your table?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, that's where the only tableside service I can think of.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Table beats. You know, maybe at a club or something. Like if you get the VIP booth with the bottle service, maybe you get a beat service too.
I think there's something there. Can we do it?
Do they come with a mixer or do they just do the beat on the table with, you know, their fist and, you know, maybe think, like a fork or something?
Yeah, I don't know.
You
know. I think the pure version of it is just fists on the table.
I kind of like just I like fist. That. You get a knife and just a and
but
a
maybe
fist.
You could bring other surfaces, you know, for to oh, cool. color the sound a little different.
I like that.
You can order them on the menu. Plate.
So you get an appetizer, so you have a small plate. Yeah. You maybe order the food based on the plate.
You got different... You know, beverages filled with the glass filled at different levels, so they get in different tones.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah,
break it, you take it. They smash the glass. They hit it too hard. They got paid for it.
All right, we're on to something. Crotchless Kravitz kit for kids and tableside beats.
Yep.
All right, coming in at number five.
Number five.
This is Brent's first it's pick.
Okay. Yeah. And by the way, when I say this is not like, I'm not ranking this really at number five. I mean, like, you know.
Oh, none of these are ranked in terms of merits. It's just order. So,
yeah, we have five of them.
Yeah. So this is Claude Lavender. He has this new album that came out just really recently, last month, January. It's called Potpourri. And the two tracks I just listened to on repeat, I can't stop listening to, are Astral Plane and Good Morrow. And I think we're going to go with Astral Plane. But it's all instrumental. And a handful of the tracks on here are actually video game music covers. But not this track. This is an original. And I just can't stop listening to it. It's really good. Right. Claude Lavender.
Let's hear this. Astral Plane. Sorry, the tape I'm using is a little warped. This is cool. What's the vibe?
Yeah.
Kind of like, whoa. It's kind of like a like a sitcom, but like on hallucinogens.
Yeah, there's like definitely
it's got a warped feel to it.
Yeah, I mean it sounds older, you know, inspired by older music, synthy and
age seventies,
yeah.
But yeah, very good, very well done.
Yeah,
it's really cool.
Yeah, really. I mean, the whole album is really good, but those two tracks in particular, "Astral Plane" and the one we heard in "Good Morrow," those are the ones that I just.
So Claude Lavender, so is one guy making this, or is it like a band that he really?
Yeah,
works
I think
with?
It's just, yeah. It's just
that
one
sounded
guy.
Kind of like a band playing.
I think he just did all of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
A la Prince.
Very cool. All right, coming in at number four.
Number four.
This is Howard's first pick. This is Ace Frehley with "Constantly Cute."
Oh, you got to hey, before you start, this is all about the most New York vocal performance maybe you've ever heard. Like,
oh, just, love it. Okay.
Yeah, it's heavy, heavy New York.
Coy, but you're not aware. This, I think you're an angel.
Holy shit.
Your magic ensues all the others. You are, you are. You're constantly cute. You look like a dream. There's nowhere to run. You're constantly cute.
Amazing.
Yeah.
That's insanely New York.
Insanely New York. And there's so many, they really should have had a speech pathologist in the studio with them to say, like, stay away from certain words, Ace. Like, you're never going to be able to pull off, like, there, over there.
God, there was one in there that really cracked me up.
Yeah, he goes, you're enticing allure.
Yeah.
Not like the others.
Yeah, the others.
Yeah.
It's like just forgot. I mean, did he always sing like that?
No, that's him singing, right? I did kind of a deep dive on it, and I went back to listen to his earlier stuff, and it's like, no, he was singing way more normal back then. Like,
I took out
some of the regionalisms. I think not being in Kiss, he doesn't have Gene and Paul bearing down on him, so it's just like.
I think there's just an age thing, too. Like, with ABBA, ABBA released, like, new stuff last year, and it was so Swedish sounding.
Okay.
Like their accents were almost like you couldn't understand them anymore. It's like, how did you get more Swedish?
It's
like since the 70s.
They stopped touring the world and they got insular.
I feel like I've seen comedians like that too, that, you know, in the say 90s, they didn't have as pronounced of accents, but then they grew into these, embraced their accent or something like that. And it's so super exaggerated now.
Yeah. I've seen a lot of comics over the years change their talk.
Or there was like a hint of it maybe when they were younger. And then they, for some reason, just went with it. And it just, now it's just, that's their whole persona, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. They started getting laughs leaning into it. Maybe they
maybe that's what it was. Yeah, and maybe that's what it is for the music too.
You're constantly cute.
Yeah.
the thing too is that's not even a good idea for a song title. It's just not like constantly cute. That's not like the type of idea that begs to be written.
No,
you know,
no, it's not.
You're constantly cute.
Constantly almost implies that he's like getting annoyed by it.
Right, right.
You're just constantly cute.
You're constantly cute. Give it a rest, toots.
Yeah.
But that's a good
one. It's incessantly cute.
Yeah.
The new album's called 10,000 Volts. Check it out.
The cover art for the album is also...
It's good.
Has all the telltale signs of the aging guy who's lost like a pro team around him.
Right, right, right.
Like it's just sort of like maybe his cousin did the artwork.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But why should that be any different than the recording? It just sounds like, you know, Sal out in Syosset. He's got a couple hours for you on Saturday. All right.
All right. Coming in at number three.
Number three.
This is my pick. This is New Judas Priest with The Serpent and the King.
Nice.
New Judas Priest.
Dude, I... Oh, I'll wait for a second.
Wow. Harder than ever.
Harder than ever.
Damn.
Dude. It's astounding. I mean, they've had a bit of a rejuvenation for a few years now. Like, their last album was really good. But even that, like, somehow Halford sounds 20 years younger than he even did on that album.
It sounds like if they had a new chapter, like, way back in the day. Like, and then they got real hard. Yeah.
I mean,
they shouldn't have enough energy to be doing this now.
It's interesting. It doesn't sound new. It doesn't sound like it's someone trying to do something new or something.
Like a sad shell of what they used to do or something. Cool. It's totally.
It's more of a banshee kind of a scream. He's kind of a growl.
Yeah, I mean, that's vintage Halford range right there, what he's doing with his voice. I mean, it's just crazy. They're one of the most fun bands I've seen live. And the other day, this weekend, went to a concert. I saw Ty Segall at the Wiltern. Great show. We've talked about his new album on the show. Went with my buddy Cyrus. You know Cyrus Howard.
Actually, did he wear shoes?
You might know him.
Into the Wiltern with no shoes on?
He had shoes. By the way, at the Wiltern, I walked in at the same time as Dean DeLeo from Stone Temple Pilots.
Oh, wow.
Which was crazy. I said, what's up to him? But anyway, that aside, after the show, we had a, you know, fun night, watched good music. He suggests I was going to turn left out of the Wiltern. Cyrus suggests to go right. And I'm not putting this on Cyrus, but just to show how much of a fluke this was. He suggests to go right because he wanted to see where all this noise was coming from. And I pull right. And then as I'm, you know, we check it out. As I'm pulling down the street, there's some sort of pothole. I've flattened both tires on my right side of my car.
Yeah, oh my gosh.
Like a gunshot. And just instant, you could hear it go.
Both on the same side, right?
Both on the same side. And it's just like, what the hell just happened? And it's just immediate total flats, exploded tires. I'm pulling up over the side. And
is
just
this
like
when everyone's trying to leave the venue?
It's not that close. It's not close enough to the Wiltern where it's just getting everyone out of the Wiltern. It's like a couple streets turned from that. But it's in the thick of like K-Town or whatever that is.
Right. But, it's K-Town, yeah.
But like, and then I start seeing other cars start pulling in front of me with flat tires. So this was nailing people.
Oh my God. That is so crazy.
So it's like, yeah, so crazy. It's one of the craziest things, like, infuriating. But anyway, long story short, I'm calling the tow company, like AAA. I have to wait till 1:30 a.m. for this tow truck to come out and get me. And Cyrus was a good friend. Like, he just waited there with me, kept me company. But while we were waiting, I put on this new Judas Priest. And it was like a nice highlight of that terrible night.
Because
it was like, we were listening, and as it was going, it was just like, wait, holy shit, this is good.
This is
good. Oh my God. Like, every song was just nailing us.
I like it too. That's like a teenage memory. We blew our tires, and it was right when the Judas Priest came out.
Yeah, exactly. And then we listened to Judas Priest in the car. Yeah. It kind of gave us a good opportunity.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's phenomenal. It's crazy how good it is. If you're into Judas Priest at all, or just good metal.
What a great band to have a resurgence. You know, they never really had one before. You know what I mean? Like, they have in the last few years, but it's not like Aerosmith, where they rose out of the ashes and now they're trying.
Totally. I mean, it's just crazy that anyone that age could sing, and anyone at any age can sing like that, let alone what he's still sounding like at his age now. It's just crazy to me. All right. Coming in at number two, this is Brent's second pick.
So I'm going to give you guys, I'm going to just describe the two tracks and then you could pick which one you want to hear, really. So
okay.
One of them is Alan Palomo.
Can you do this like a waiter? We have a Alan Palomo.
Yeah, it's like Tableside Beats in a way.
Okay.
These are your specials.
We have an Alan Palomo. Now, by the way, these are not, these are like kind of, this is from an album that came out in September of last year. So it's, you know, it's pretty new, but it's not super, super new. But Motriere, really good track from that. The album's called World of Hassle. And then this is maybe kind of nepotistic of me or whatever. My brothers have a band called Silhouette City. And they have this track called Wishing Well that is my favorite on this album that came of theirs that came out in August of last year called Who Do You Want to Be? And so... you know, that's okay. The Alan Palomo thing is kind of like, that has a kind of an older sound to it. It's kind of, it sounds like maybe like some kind of Italo disco kind of thing. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe that's not the right description, but, and then Wishing Well, normally their band, they have a full band, for the Silhouette City, but this track is stripped down. It's just acoustic guitar and, two voices kind of, you know, I don't know. Mm. On a maybe a more of a folky side.
The second one sounds lame. Give me the first one.
You know, I had this. My brothers. I just had the same.
It's so hard to pick against your family. Like, no, I don't want to hear your brothers.
Yeah.
No, but I mean, you take your pick based on the description. Yeah.
I like the Italian disco. To
I don't
be
know.
Honest.
I don't know if that's the right description. I don't even know if that's the right description, well, but it's something like that. Yeah, maybe.
This I just had the same game. Feeling, the same feeling I do almost every time when a waiter is just giving the specials, in that I always somehow my brain goes somewhere else and I miss all the details.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
I just cannot digest all the details he's talking to me about.
Yeah.
The fish.
This is bizarre though. What if it worked this way? Like, would you rather hear this song right now or this other song? You describe yeah. them and then you wait 10 minutes and then they play this song.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I want to hear the Italian disco. Guy.
Yeah. I don't even right. know if that's the right description, but yeah. So this is Alan Palomo, Motriere. And this is, yeah, like I said, came out in September. World of Hassle is the album.
All right. Here we go. Sultry sax. If you had mentioned the saxophone to Howard, I wonder if he would have still picked this.
Yeah, I might have stepped out.
Right.
Ooh, I like this.
That part's good.
Yeah, this is like an Italian horror movie.
Yeah.
Brusca sulla tua cosa nera. Phonetic English.
There's lyrics, by the way. I mean, there's singing.
Okay.
Oh, there is?
Yeah.
There's no relation on this one? Not a cousin or anything?
This is really good.
Yeah, it's like good.
It. You always bring in some really good obscure stuff.
This has
heroes type stuff.
A guest singer on it, Flore Benguigui, I think is who that is. But yeah. Okay. You might know Alan Palomo as Neon Indian. That was his before that. So. But
so is he just goes good by stuff. His real name now?
Yeah, it seems that way, yeah.
Right on. I liked it a lot. Both of those had a very Euro feel to them and yeah.
Would you say that eclectic. Italian disco is kind of a description of that?
Yeah.
Maybe that's yes. Yeah, I don't know.
I'm with you.
Yeah,
on
I
that.
Would. Euro disco.
Or I mean, Italian
or
like
Euro
70s.
Horror or something, you know, I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, like yeah. kind of 80s yeah.
80s you know, horror 80s. Disco or something. I don't know.
It's yeah. like when they come over and you're like, what are they doing? Why are they wearing those pants? It's like, you don't ever know exactly what they're doing, but it's interesting.
But not to, and by the way, just to, you know, not to leave them hanging, you know, but check out Silhouette City,
please,
Who Do You Want to
yeah.
Be, the EP. And Wishing Well is my favorite track on there, but you'll all probably like, oh, Allison or Who Do You Want to Be more.
Right on. Is it the same where your sister's better musicians than them?
They're all good in their own way. They did different kinds of stuff, you know. But Laura is a good musician, though, too.
Talented family, those.
Laura is a very good musician, by the way. She has a band called Foxtails Brigade.
Right on.
Very cool.
She says, jump, you say how high. I can tell that she's going to put the word out. Like, tell them about me.
All right, coming in at number one.
Number one.
Howard's second pick, new modern English song called Crazy Lovers.
That's fun modern English. Come on.
Yeah, I like it. That almost reminded me of a Howard Kramer-ism, like that little radio song. I don't know what time it is.
Oh, yeah,
I don't know what day it is.
You know what it also reminds me of is former guest Chip Pope, Our Romance.
Oh,
He had his new wave 80s music character, and he did stuff just like that.
Yeah.
Modern English, they're I Melt With You.
Yeah, Melt With You.
Is that a one-hit wonder, would you say, or did they have more than that?
Yeah, that song dwarfed everything else they did. I think they had a couple other smaller ones. But, like, I like this song because it's not even their same old sound exactly. Like, it's just kind of a catchy song, but it's not trying to be Melt With You.
Yeah. Man, all these artists, it's just like it's a lesson in persistence. Like, no one ever would have told you in 2024. Like, that just seemed... like we would be living in Blade Runner by now. You know what I mean?
Right.
If they were like, you'll get your next good song, you'll get a shot in the arm in like 2024. Just keep at it.
Ace Frehley, Modern English.
Yeah, Judas Priest.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, 2024 sounds that way, but once we hit 2025, that really sounds like we're in the future. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
that's like Mega Man games took place in like 2025.
I mean, 2025 just seems, that seems like we would be robot, you know, we're all cyborgs or should be cyborgs or something, you know? And
wearing white, you know, onesies.
What if AI is like listening to this and it's like, we got to speed it up. We got to get it done by 2025.
Yeah.
I mean,
right.
If you think about how much change has happened in the last 10 years.
Oh, yeah. No, it's about to get insane.
But things haven't changed that much too, in a way.
We're going to have that much change in the next 2 years.
I think we're going to get a lot of change with this stuff.
I imagine there to be, you know, people wearing, you know, headsets and stuff.
Yeah.
Around, you know, where like one thing is covering their eye. You know, there's a lens covering their eye.
Just started.
But it's not at the, and it's wired into their head or something like that.
Yeah.
And there it's just like, or just more gray and stuff. But it's, you know, I mean, things don't seem that different aside from the internet than the 90s, you know, really.
Food, you still got to eat it. You still got to chew it. there's a lot still the same.
Yeah, I thought there would be a lot more holograms by
holograms,
now.
Holograms,
I thought holograms were going to take over.
Back to the Future 2 takes place in 2015, right? So that's 9 years ago.
That's insane. Yeah,
and they had hologram jaws coming out at you. And they had, you know, self-tying shoes or whatever, you know? And, you know, a lot more hologram
cars.
Hats. Yeah, flying cars, yeah. Max Headroom was still booming back then.
So we got that.
Yeah.
I will say that FaceTime kind of came and went as like a, like the idea of the video conference call.
Hmm.
That was a deeply futuristic
Total Recall
idea.
I mean, not Total Recall. Running Man. And the Running Man, there's like.
Right. Or the old in Star Trek, everything had the face. Wow. Like you're looking at each other on a phone call. But then when that came out, it was kind of like, yeah, of course, like whatever. It's still just annoying when
people because you're not looking at Captain Kirk or someone. You're looking at
You're looking at some guy's crotch. And, you know, Kravitz crotch kids on, you know, he's too big for Kravitz crotch kids. Yeah.
They didn't capture how jarring it would be, like when you're looking at somebody from that angle, or how unflattering it could be.
Too close. Oh, right.
Yeah, Back to the Future 2 had that too. They had, you know, Flea on the phone with Marty McFly. Right. Remember? You know, Flea's on the phone.
Yeah, Flea in his prime.
It's I remember when, you know, didn't Dick Tracy have some video watch?
Yeah, yeah, phone?
Video watch.
Yeah.
And now they can't do that on the Apple Watches. Can they have video on there?
I'm sure they could if they wanted to. But I'm not sure.
I think they will want to, I think, right? So they think like Dick Tracy
still has the rights to it.
I do wonder how much of the future is shaped by previous, like what people are excited from the future in pop culture, you know what I mean? Like how much of it is self-fulfilling.
Bro.
Like, we got to invent this because Star Trek had it.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. It drives it.
Do you guys know about the Warren Beatty Dick Tracy thing? I mean, about his ownership of it thing?
No.
I just learned about this recently, but that he, to maintain holding the rights to Dick Tracy, he's made these low budget sort of sequels, I guess, for Dick Tracy to hold on to the rights.
That sounds like the Spider-Man thing. He's got to make one every so often in order to retain the rights. So
interesting.
But he makes these low-budget, shitty ones.
But he does it as a yes. But they're in the form of these interviews. Really, he does these interviews in character, in the Dick Tracy character.
Really?
There's only been two so far, but one of them came out I think last year or 2022, and it was with. Somebody from, I forgot, maybe Ben Mankiewicz maybe or something like that. I think he's in one of them. Oh, with Leonard Maltin, I think. Maybe Leonard Maltin and Ben Mankiewicz. And it's just weird. It's really interesting. There's a whole story behind it and how he's doing it for a specific reason because, I don't know, the studio didn't want him to make another Dick Tracy movie. And I don't know. I don't know the details exactly, but it's just interesting that he's made these movies to keep the rights.
Yeah, that's
very
awesome.
Weird. It's weird to me that he hasn't, subversive. He never really, in my perception, like did much after Dick Tracy. Or I remember even.
Yeah, he was too old.
Well, Bullworth, remember that? That was
wasn't that old. I mean, a lot of people, you know. No, he's a slow worker.
I've read interviews with him. He said he would work on his movie like once every couple of weeks. Like he's just a slow, like he just wasn't motivated to be super prolific.
Right. But he was super prolific like earlier. It was just one of those things like in my lifetime that's interesting. Like he didn't make that much of an impact. But if you're just my parents' lifetime or whatever, it was like, oh, you just know all this huge slate of Warren Beatty movies and such a brilliant filmmaker.
Beatty. Yeah, it's big in the 60s, 70s.
He just sort of wrapped it up right as I was spawning.
Yeah, what else was there besides, you know, after Dick Tracy, besides Bullworth, there might have been one
He made movies with Annette Bening, with the one with the president.
Oh, he made that movie, the president one, yeah?
I mean, I don't know that he made it. He was in it. I don't know.
Oh, he was, okay, yeah. Oh, that's right, he's in it too.
But his whole thing was like making movies before that, right?
He didn't make Bonnie.
He didn't make
did he?
Like 30, 40 movies. You know what I'm saying? Like he starred in a lot, but as far as like directing and producing, he did Shampoo.
Did he direct Shampoo?
He's like the band Tool. He's basically exactly like Tool. It's like one album.
I was going to say Walt Whitman. Yeah. Or not Whitman. I mean, Whit Stillman. I meant Whit Stillman.
Yeah. Whit Stillman. Yeah.
Whit Stillman.
Well, right on.
You know, video watches, guys. We got to get on that too, I guess.
Yeah.
Right on. Hey, Brett, it's so exciting to have you back. So good to see you again. Want to remind everybody to check out the Chicken Coop every Monday, 6 p.m. Pacific time. Is that right?
That's right. Chicken Coop at my YouTube channel, Brent Weinbach. And check out the Poundcast, the podcast I do with DJ Doug Pound that Howard's been on.
Of course.
Yeah, invite me back. I'll come do it.
Yeah. You want to do it this Friday?
Do I have to come in person or is it Zoom?
We are doing this one in person on Friday. Sometimes we do Zoom, but sometimes we do it in person. We can wait till we can do a Zoom one another time if you want.
No, let's just we'll text after the show. We'll figure it out. Yeah. Thank you for asking.
Yeah.
And Start, how about you?
Yeah, watch Destroy All Neighbors. You can rent it now on Apple or Amazon Prime if you don't want to get Shudder. And listen to the music. I did all the music with my buddy Ryan. And go to Comedy Bang Bang World. Sign up there. ImprovForHumans.com. Sign up there. Oh, the Beatles show. Screw it. We're just going to talk about the Beatles. We just launched a subscription page if you want more of that. So that'll be cool. Will Hines and I, Katie and Joel. And for fans of this show, if you still haven't signed up, my God, go to whochartedpod.com, get yourself an account, and you get two charted every single week. Howard and I, we had a really fun one last week. We did an escape tune.
Super fun Psycho. Last week. I got some great stuff for this week, too. Some great donkey stuff and other things.
Nice.
Oh, donkey. That's another
fun donkey animal. Is an inherently hilarious funny, animal.
Yeah.
Funnier than the horse by far.
Easily.
Yeah.
Well, is my imagination, or do donkeys have bigger butts than horses? Or am I just thinking that because they're
you're probably right.
They're also called asses, you know? I mean,
could be. They need a balance.
They're more disproportionate.
Check out Grift Horse with Megan Beth Keister and myself. You can earn money listening to that show. Hundreds, thousands. And also check out Drop Date Duel, two bands battling it out every week with their brand new albums. Check me out on social, putting up lots of stand-up clips. And we will see you right here next week on Who Charted.